It says in one of the Upanishads, as soon as there is an other, wherever there is an other, fear arises. So a whole life, every moment of an ordinary life, is at its very core built on this separate self-sense. Therefore there is nothing but others, the sense of otherness, of separation, in every moment. So for the usual man there is always fear. And whenever the hedges of the mind and of ordinary life, all the occupations and distractions, whenever that is broken down through such an influence as the power of satsang, then you are returned to your fear. But it's all right that that appears, because it is naked. It's good to know the core of your own event. And that fear will continue to arise until there is the recognition, the knowing again, of that fear itself, of what it contains, of what it is the manifestation of. And it is the manifestation of your own activity in this moment. You are frightened because you are separating yourself in this moment. And that fear will never dissolve fundamentally until you have dissolved. Mm-hmm. And what you fear is that dissolution of yourself. And that is the fundamental sacrifice. Everything, that's all the hedges about Narcissus, the separate one, may be surrendered. But the principal sacrifice is at the center, on the altar. Mm-hmm. The ego.
Yeah. So then Narcissus is doing the sacrifice.
Right. So everybody wants to sacrifice, so you can go to some yogi and say, surrender, surrender, surrender. Well, who's going to surrender? Narcissus is going to surrender. He loves it. Because all of his surrendering is his own game. It in itself reinforces his self-nature. In itself, it is his hedge. The holy man builds a fantastic hedge about himself. Incredible security, because he has let go of everything but himself. So his nothing is a vast, infinite hedge that protects his self, his separateness. And no one will yield that separateness except in the face of the divine. When the divine is intuited in satsang, then the self is let loose spontaneously, always with more and more intelligence. And as that release, as that sacrifice begins to occur, there is also the release from fear. Until there's utter fearlessness. Not because you've become like King Kong with all of your yogic siddhis, but because you've become nothing. Exactly. Right. That's what you're afraid of. Right. And with good reason. No one wants to let go of that one, because that's the only thing they've got, really. Everything else can be lost, and you can still be standing there as a particle in the midst of infinity. But that really is the only thing you're holding on to. And you're not holding on to anything, it is your own fist. There's nothing inside of it, but you're grasping onto it. It is just a concept. It is just a modification of your own awareness. It has no fundamental existence at all. And you will continue to be frightened of its dissolution until you know its nothingness. Until you know the divine, who is omnipresent, who is existence.
How does that occur?
Very simply. You just turn to me. And it is very simple. But everything else you do will be difficult. There's a great deal to be undone. All of this, all these mediocre meetings, all these momentary sightings, all of these sittings, all of these hours of study, all of these times of living in the ashram, all of these days, all of this is contact with me that serves that dissolution. It is undoing it, not by magic, because it only takes place where there is consciousness in the devotee, Only through the process of recognition in the devotee does it occur. Not by taking it out of him like a thorn in his side, by magic, without his participation, but in the midst of his participation, because it absolutely requires the functions of awareness. It is by the ongoing life of satsang that it is done. By always resorting to me, in all of these hours, not only when you're most frightened, but when you're most mediocre. Those are the better times to turn to me. When it's most difficult, those are the better times to be turning. Because those are the times when you're dealing with the most. When you're really oppressed, when even your turning is impossible, those are the times to turn. Those are the times to do the sadhana of this happiness, of this real intelligence. And it is by real intelligence, not by dramatic efforts at surrendering externally, but by this real intelligence, this real turning to the Guru. It's in the midst of that that it is all undone. And it's very, very simple. It can be done in this moment, without any drama. Just see it. What are you doing? What are you always doing? What are you doing now? Grasping. Creating the sensation of the self. Pressing your fingers into your palm and feeling that sensation and meditating on it. That is what you're always doing. Know it again and see what it is prior to that grasping. Fall into satsang and grasp onto nothing after that. Throw everything away but that. And continually know that. Continually inquire then in that real sense. In other words, continually see this contraction as your own activity. And fall into that state which precedes all of this clenching, grasping. And that is self-realization. That is God-knowledge. And it is free. It's independent of all experiences, all changes of state, all present states. It is utterly free. When you fall into it with absolute intensity, you become absolutely free. Free of all the worlds, of all conditions, of all transformations. And then paradoxically, not only are you free of them all, but you become capable of them all. You become capable of life in the usual sense. And then life becomes a theater. It becomes a humorous display of qualities, positive and negative. It becomes a drama that is not leading to the divine, that is leading nowhere. Life is not leading anywhere. The earth has not been created in order to ultimately evolve into the divine state. The earth is just what it is. It may become more glamorous, or it may just fall apart. But it could become more glamorous, but that doesn't make it divine. This world is just a limitation, like all of the endless infinities of billions of other worlds. All of them are just limitations. And apart from all of that, and also absolutely coincident with it, is the divine. And those who know the divine in whatever world they appear are free. And that world becomes theater for them. They don't look to go to some other world. They live in God and dramatize the event with humor. And such is the habit of wise men.